Board Member Cecilia Benson, so if you'll please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The minutes and the agenda are before you. Any alterations or changes that need to be made? I would accept a motion.
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes and agenda.
How about a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any?
Aye.
Thank you. Carries. Our next meeting is going to be January 26th. Let's just pause for a second and take any questions or comments from the public. I don't see any here. I don't see any online. We're going to move on then. Okay, so tonight's board business, we're going to have a public hearing on the 2022 budget. So we're going to open that public hearing and turn it over to Curtis Roberts.
Okay.
We need to have a motion to move it?
I'm sorry?
We need to have a motion to open it.
To open it? Do we need a motion to open?
Can we open it?
Can we have a motion to open?
I move that we open the
Thank
public
you.
Hearing.
And a second to open it, I guess.
I second it.
Thank you. Do we vote to open?
Yeah.
You want to vote? All in favor of opening for the final round of the budget?
Aye.
Any opposed to open? Thank you. We've had lots of workshop and discussion, and for that I thank the administrators of the CBTD to walk us through this budget. And so, Curtis, I'm going to just turn it over to you for any questions and presentation.
Yeah, so just for the points, I tried to prepare a summary of what changed between the tentative and the final. Every once in a while we have some changes that we come across. And this one, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, we go back through double checking everything, and we have a formula error where we hadn't included benefits for one of the employees, and we need to kind of include those. We adjusted up salaries and benefits by $32,000. So that fixes all the formulas that we could find that were affected. And then we did have some additional federal funding that's available to us that can fund that. So it's, even though we have this error, we've got funding, so it's not going to take away from our fund balance or anything like that. It's fully funded, so we're good to go. That's the only change we have from the tentative. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to rehash everything unless somebody wants me to.
Okay, any comments or questions from the board? Anything from the people online?
Not hearing you talking about budgets for so many months.
I think we're there.
Yeah, thank you. With that, I'd accept a motion to close the public hearing. On the budget
that we close it.
And I second.
Thank you, Cecilia. All in favor of closing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We will go to 7B, consideration of adoption of fiscal year budget 2022 budget.
I move that we accept the budget for 2022.
That is very appropriate for the chair of that subcommittee. Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor of adopting fiscal year budget 2022, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Not hearing any.
What was that?
Sue, anything? I think the motion.
No, I'm good.
Thank you, Sue.
We know that.
Sounds like the motion carries. 7C, we're going to consider fraud risk assessment. Curtis, can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So each year, The state auditor now has required all entities receiving government or public funds to prepare and present to the board. You don't necessarily have to adopt it. We just have to provide you information with what we as management are doing that can give you assurances that it minimizes the risk that fraud could occur within our organization, especially material fraud that would not be, that doesn't get detected. And so we have numerous controls in place. The state auditor's office asks us to look at specific policies and procedures that we do. And so we complete what they require as an assessment from their determination of what would help minimize the risk of fraud. As a licensed CPA, I would say this is an indicator. It doesn't address everything that we're doing to help prevent fraud, but it is a very common benchmark that you can use to gain some assurance. So we filled this out. As you can see, the state auditor's scoring, we scored 330. That puts us in a low range of fraud risk. I would add that in conjunction with other controls that we have in place, we actually are really, really low level. But according to the state auditor's office, we hit a low level. And that's why we haven't really invested time into any of the other steps, but we're more than willing to consider that if the board would like to give us that direction. But this is the current stance of where we're at with reporting based off the state auditor's requirements.
And the board's required to formally adopt this, right?
No, we're required to report it to them. It's optional. We encourage you to adopt it so that we know that it's been accepted, because that goes into the minutes and everything. But technically, under the law, you don't have to. We just have to present it and have you aware of what the fraud risk is.
So yes. I'd like to have us formally adopt it just so it goes in the minutes and it's part of the record. Is that all right?
No problem with me.
Go ahead.
I just got a question on number four. It seems like we it said that they're required to annually commit in writing to abide by a statement of ethical behavior. That seems like that would be the easiest thing to have people just sign it and get a perfect score.
It would, except it says all employees. Oh. And so we would have to track down every single one of our drivers and service workers who have absolutely nothing to do with our finances and have no ability to do hardly anything, which is the employee side. If all that said was board members and key administrative people, I would do that in a heartbeat. And if the board wants us to go down, we'll go down and have the drivers and everybody sign it. We'll definitely go through that. But that's the reason why we have
that makes sense. Thank
but
you.
I really am more than happy to.
No, that's fine. I just thought that seemed like an easy thing, but when it's so broad, that would be very difficult.
So is there an advantage to not being at the very low versus being low?
Only in the stance that you can consider if we should implement something else that the state thinks would take us to low. As I said, we have other procedures internally that actually I feel take us to that very low area. For example, we have only a certain number of us that are check signers, and every expenditure that goes through requires multiple approvals. So it starts out, the person ordering actually has to initial that they actually received goods or services. Then it goes through our accounting process to verify that they think it's something we actually received and is properly coded and put in correctly. And then finally, there's an administration point of review where Todd or myself goes through, we used to have Nicole being able to do that because she was involved. We're still working out how Kayla's going to fit in. But we actually go through and then review. So anything that goes out goes through multiple sets of eyes. It's more extreme than what even a typical small business or a typical business would do, just because that's where the greatest risk of fraud is. We have cameras that are in place in numerous areas where if somebody was taking and using equipment inappropriately, we'd be able to track that down. If somebody damaged anything, we'd be able to track down where there was at and assign liability to be able to collect back from them. So it's those type, I'm giving those as examples of additional things that's not even considered on here that we think takes us to that extremely low level. So we haven't invested in these type of efforts. We've invested in other things that from my perspective are actually better instruments that actually give the board more assurance that
we're using. No, I think that's an actual internal audit function.
It may not be classified as an internal audit because an internal audit would actually go through and pull documents or go through and pull certain things. And it would be typically be done by somebody completely independent.
Well, this is internal.
Yeah.
That line eight says an internal audit. I would consider that an internal audit function if you check it by three people before you issue a check.
Yeah, according to the state auditor's definition of what an internal, it doesn't meet it.
But we're covered.
Terry, did you have a comment?
You know, if we're really stressing about getting another 20 points, the easiest thing is to put a link to the state auditor's fraud report hotline. That's what we did in a number of the cities that I do websites for, and that got all the cities down to very low risk.
We'd set up a report fraud at cdtdbus.org, and that would direct it up to like the board chair or something like that, where if somebody had some real concern, they could put it up to the board, and then the board chair could determine. We would handle that more internally than, because I'm a control freak. I want to handle things here.
Yeah.
But that's the way that we would probably have a way to report fraud if we wanted to chase down that. We just haven't done it.
I understand. I mean, where this is a mix of federal and state funding that comes in and stuff, and taxes and public funds. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's which entity is the most fraud at risk averse?
Yeah.
Type things. Okay.
I move we accept this fraud risk assessment.
Thank you, Sean.
I second.
Thank you, Jeff. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Not hearing any. Thank you. Thank you. Let's jump down to our general manager and staff reports. Todd, take us through, please.
Okay, let's go quickly through this, but just want to update you quickly on the intelligent transportation system for the fixed route. So we have gone through the procurement process, hired a company, GMV. We've had our initial kickoff meeting with them. I was really pleasantly surprised the way in which they started the kickoff meeting. They had us all introduce ourselves, tell each other how we came into transit, and then tell something that we're really passionate about transit. And it was really clear in listening to them that they were very passionate about transit and very passionate about making sure the end user has a good experience. So I'm really excited about working with this company and what I think it's going to do to help our customers. We're just starting in that process. We have a meeting in January scheduled where they're going to be out on site for a week, getting a lot of data and whatnot. And so at the January board meeting, we'll have Colton Fulmer, our IT guy that's the project lead on this project. He will come and kind of give you an updated report. But I just wanted to let you know the process has started. We're moving forward on that. And then facility update. You know, things are moving well. We had our design team, our construction team, and then several of us staff yesterday had a meeting where we're now looking at office adjacencies, where offices should go, how things should flow within those offices to make things work. We've got some initial concepts we're looking at, and again, we're going to be working with the facility committee from this board here in January. In doing some more work with that. So again, that's progressing well. We feel we're still on target. Curtis is our project manager on that. I think we're looking, we're hoping August to break ground, July, August, somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah, we're still working out the details. The very latest that we want to break ground would be September, but the most likely, or the most aggressive one has us breaking ground in June, so it's going to be some time in between those.
But again, things are moving along. We feel very good about the progress that's being made. the team that we have. We've got so much great input from the staff. That's one thing that is really cool to me. Our folks are not shy about sharing their opinions and their feelings, and they're the ones that run the day-to-day, right? So that's a good thing. I mean, I really commend Curtis and Jody and Mindy, these guys that create this environment where folks feel comfortable in sharing their opinions. That gets us to a better deliverable. So anyway, those are just a couple updates I wanted to give you. I know we had a small agenda tonight, so I just wanted to take a minute and let you know. Any questions about anything?
Has this cost increase and supply chains had any impact on the scope of this project?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things why we came back to the board and were asking for additional funding. I mean, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to get moving forward with that authorization is to get some of these things that are supply chain issues, to get them under contract as soon as possible, to get some of the costs locked down as soon as possible. But again, Big D's been great to work with that regard. They have a lot of experience in that. So we'll probably bring some things in, and we may even put them in storage containers or store them on site someplace to where we have that stuff, even though we may not need it for several months. We've got that under contract. So I think we're managing that well. You know, it is kind of the world we live in right now. So any other questions?
Any other questions or comments? All right, thanks, Todd. Yeah. I am trying to set a land speed record with this meeting tonight, so.
We like you as president.
Good job.
You can expect this going forward. Go ahead, Sean.
Under the auspices of the board chair report, can I just ask two questions? Number one, I don't know if you guys have seen two articles about microtrans in the last couple of weeks. Salt Lake City just
ended advertised. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it's a really hot topic or a trend. And then the other one is, it didn't make it on, I should not have approved the agenda. We didn't make the acceptance of the monitoring report, which we're supposed to do. Can we do that in January?
No, typically, so what we've changed to is that just goes to the executive committee. And then as far as the actual monitoring report, that's what we did.
I thought we had to say we approved it and approved the COLA.
The board sets the wage, but the actual report is to the executive committee.
All right.
And then you guys report to the board. But I mean, again, if you want to change that, you can.
All right. Sorry. We'll have to be able to say something about it in January since I brought it up now, but it was all good. Let's iron that out and just kind of make it official in January.
Okay. Right. Great suggestion. Thank you. I see that Craig's already dropped off, but we're going to bring him back in our January meeting and thank him for his service as the board chair. This is his last official meeting. And did he leave early in his last meeting? Is he really gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
He did have to go to his, the university's having their staff party.
Tonight.
So he had said that he was just going to be here for the budget vote.
Anyway, we appreciate his service. We appreciate you coming tonight. Hopefully you can go home and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you in January. Thanks, folks. Bye.